Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
As we were walking out of the sacristy tonight, Deacon Tom goes, "We're starting. I love this time of year." And amen, right? This is the most beautiful masses we have right here. And it starts tonight, actually. We begin with the sign of the cross tonight, like always, but we don't end with the sign of the cross tonight. We end without a blessing. And tomorrow when we come in for Good Friday, there's no blessing to start. There's no sign of the cross. It's actually one long mass until Holy Saturday ends, and the new people are welcomed into our church, and the Lord is risen from the grave. Amen for that. Anyways, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Tonight is just about Holy Thursday. So tonight we call to mind the things that matter the most, actually, in our church, what happened on the last night of Jesus' life. He instituted the priesthood, the Eucharist, and it gave us the example of what it's like to humble ourselves and offer charity to one another. For the times where we have failed in any of those areas, let us call to mind our sins. To my knowledge, this is the only Mass of the year where that big red book tells the priest what he has to talk about for the Mass. On Palm Sunday, it also says that if the priest gives a homily, it must be brief. Did you know that? Use that on, whenever you're at Palm Sunday somewhere else, use that on the priest, all right, next time. I watched the Vigil Mass from this past Saturday night. Father Jim Caressel was here, and his homily was brief. As soon as the deacon got done with the gospel, Father Jim stood up and said, "Let's profess our faith." And that was it. It's done. So he knows how to read the book. But tonight, they ask us to preach about three things: the real presence of the Eucharist, the ordained priesthood, and charity to one another. Those three topics are the topics for tonight. So here they are. First one is the real presence of the Eucharist. And this week, our second graders here at the school are getting themselves ready for their first communion coming up in May. One of them is here. And then whenever we brought them into the church, they had an all-day-long retreat. We brought them into the church. And actually, there's more than one here. I saw a couple in the back, too. Anyways, you know who you are. We brought them into the church to talk about what's going to happen this coming May 1st for them. They're really excited, right? We sat in the front of the church, and we answered questions about what they're going to receive, and we looked at the windows for all the sacraments, right, so they can check off the baptism, and now they can check off the reconciliation. Now they're going to be able to check off soon the First Communion. And then we took them to the back into the sacristy so they could see where the hosts are before we use them at Mass. And much to their dismay, they're just in a refrigerator on the ground. But we pulled out the hosts and let each kid try it in advance, because you don't want them making faces on their first communion day, right? And as I was giving them these hosts that were not consecrated, each one of these kids knew exactly what to do. I mean, this was not yet the body of Christ. It was just a piece of bread. But they lined up, they bowed, they put their hands up, they said amen, they made the sign of the cross, everything. They did all of it, right? And then I started to think about first communion days. Kids show us what faith looks like, don't they? Remember my first year as a priest, when I did First Communion for the first time as a priest to kids, I remember at the end of that Mass, some of them said they didn't want to go home. They just wanted to be here. Now, they had cakes and presents waiting at home, parties. But some of them said, "Can we just stay?" One of them said, "Can we come back tomorrow?" That's amazing, right? I wish that more of us had the same faith that children have in the Eucharist. This is the source of our faith and the summit of our faith. It's everything. The Lord says on the last night, "Of all the things that I can do for you or teach you or give you, I want to give you the thing that's going to allow me to live in you. You'll be able to come anytime you want to, any church that's open. But to kneel down with me and talk and listen and vent, because I'm here. Like, I won't leave you forever." If we only believed that, You know, and another kind of good indication of that is people who are really devout in their devotion to the Eucharist, to Holy Communion, when they are going to go to communion, they do a really good examination and say, is this body worthy of receiving that communion? Am I already in community with the Lord, or have I taken myself out in some way? And therefore, they go to confession in advance, and that's a good thing. More of us could probably use to do that. That's the first thing for tonight's homily, is the real presence. If you're doubting this, actually, we've got a whole year and a half coming up. We're going to be talking about the real presence of the Eucharist. Every parish in the United States. And then it's going to culminate with a big Eucharistic Congress up in Indianapolis in a couple of years. People are going to come from all over the place to hear talks and celebrate the fact that we in our church, we have the body of Christ. So we're going to get ourselves ready for that big celebration. The second thing we're supposed to talk about tonight is the ordained priesthood. Now, many of you probably maybe know this, maybe not. All of us, when we're baptized as lowercase priest, prophet, and king, because we're asked by God in our baptism to make sacrifices, priest, prophet, to teach the faith by our life, the witness of our life, and king, to rule over the things given to us, like unruly children, or finances, to extend the reign of God's kingdom. Like, those are things we're all supposed to do as the baptized. But there are some men that are called out of that to lay down their life entirely as priests, to give up what they are and who they are, to be in service of what God needs them to be in service of. Actually, this is a good example of this. On Tuesday night, we had the big Chrism Mass. We might go to the Chrism Mass this year, the cathedral. We had a bunch of people singing there, actually. It was amazing. All the priests come in, we renew our priestly promises with the bishop. He asks us questions again. It's like renewing your vows as a married couple, right? So we renew our promises there. And one of the things that matters at the Chrism Mass is that often all of our parents, the parents of priests, show up to that. They don't like talk about it. It's not like a rule. But when I looked out there, I was like, oh, there's Father Luke Hassler's parents. There's Father Tony Ernst's parents. There's my parents. There's all these priests' parents. We're all sitting out there together. And I thought, how cool is that, right? That they now have sons that are all brothers, and that makes them kind of in-laws, because they've all made the same sacrifice, right, of giving their sons up. And one of the parents came up to me and gave me a big hug, and her son had been my pastor, and so she said, "You're like my grandson." Amen, right? If I'm like a spiritual son to him, that's like my spiritual grandma, right? What a beautiful gift that is. Like, it's just beautiful. Well, one of the things I want to just mention about the ordained priesthood is this week I went and saw the new movie, Father Stu. Mel Gibson, Mark Wahlberg made this movie together. It's a true story about a priest from Montana, a man from Montana. He had a pretty rough life. His brother died when he was young. His father was an alcoholic and kind of left the family. His mother tried to raise him, and he was always kind of seen as like the kid who should have been the one who went, not his brother. Pretty bad. So he became a fighter, literally, became a boxer. And after boxing kind of knocked too many screws loose, he realized he couldn't do it anymore, and so he went to L.A. to become an actor. And in L.A., he found this girl who was a good Catholic girl, and he's like, what do I have to do to date you? And basically she said, be a Catholic and you can date me. And so he said, I'll sign the dotted line right now. He becomes Catholic, and within a couple of years, he hears a call to priesthood. And so he says, I'm not spoiling anything, because this is just all part of the story. You can read it anywhere, but they're sitting at a dining room or in a restaurant, and he tells his girlfriend that he's going to be a priest. And she gets very upset because she dressed up because she thought he was going to propose. Yikes, right? And then as the story goes, the reason this movie was made was because he was a rough character who was still called by God for good. But in the end, before he gets ordained in seminary, he gets diagnosed with a muscular degenerative disease. And his hands begin to not be able to open anymore, and he's not able to genuflect. He's probably not going to be able to like hold up a chalice really well, or to hold a baby to baptize, or you know, the things that a priest needs to be able to do. And so the diocese, Los Angeles, says, we're not going to ordain you. You may not be of good use to the church, and so you're not called. So he moves back home to Montana. Spoiler alert, his name is Father Stu, so he gets ordained, right? So he moves back to Montana to live with his family, and while he's up there, the people of his diocese in Montana ask the bishop, they say, we want him to be a priest. And so he shows up at Mass on Sunday with his parents who are not Catholic, and they ordain him. And his job is to sit in a wheelchair and go into nursing homes and hear people's confessions and do anointings until he dies. He can't step up to an ambo. He can't travel around giving speeches. He can't even shake people's hands, not fully. But he was still worth ordaining, because one mass or one confession or one anointing from one priest can change someone's life. Think about the priests that have been good to you in that one moment, you know, that you needed it the most. Their whole life was for that. And they could die happy. And you can too. What a beautiful gift that is. And we're lucky here because we've got Jake Schneider, who's in seminary from our parish. We're also lucky tonight because he's corralling all these four servers, and that's really helpful too. We've also had in the past, Adam Martin was a seminarian from our parish not too many years ago. And this is becoming a really vocations kind of oriented place. And I think, and this is what I was told as a kid too growing up, the vocations only come from good families. If families aren't happy, like if a husband and a wife don't live marriage well together in their vocation, no kid can trust that the church will take care of him or of her and become a nun or a priest or a brother. And so keep living marriage well, because that's what produces vocations across the board. And the final thing we're supposed to talk about tonight is the sacrament of charity. And this is what Jesus does tonight. You'll notice that on the night of celebrating the Last Supper, we Catholics, who are all like Eucharist, 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 right? The ambo is off center of the church. The tabernacle's in the middle. The altar's in the middle. The bread and the wine are brought forth from the people. Like, we're so focused on communion. But on this night, we don't have Jesus giving us the Last Supper communion narrative. We have the symbol of the washing of the feet. And people are sometimes confused by that, but I think it actually makes perfect sense. Because the result of believing in what happens here should be that our lives are transformed. Today, I was at lunch with another priest who is Holy Thursday. It's usually a pretty easy day in the morning anyway. And so we went to lunch together. And as we're at lunch, we went to this kind of new restaurant, kind of a little pub diner thing. And I ordered a BLT, not a complicated sandwich, right? And it took so the food comes out for him, and she goes, "Oh, yours is almost ready. It'll be right out in a second. I want to get him his while he was hot." And I said, "Oh, that's no worries." So we prayed, and he began eating. And then like 15 minutes later, I still didn't have any food. And so she comes back to the table and says, "Well, your ticket was lost, so we're starting your sandwich now." And I said, "That's all right, you know." And then she said, "Well, we'll bring it all out to you when it's hot." And I thought, okay, good. Well, so I'm sitting there. He finishes entirely his whole meal. And she brings it out to me and goes, "I hope you're not too upset," and just walked away. And I was like, I would have been like, "Your meal's free," or "Here's a free plate of fries," or, you know, something, right? And as I thought about that, I thought, I could just not tip her. Like, she doesn't deserve a tip, right? What am I talking about tonight? Humbling myself. Like, 6 hours after that lunch, I'm on my hands and knees washing people's feet. I'm tipping her. It's so easy for us to say, like, someone's not good to me and therefore they don't deserve anything back. Someone cuts me off, so I'm going to blare my horn or cut them off in return. Someone's not nice to me, they don't talk well about me, so I just ignore them at work. That's not what Jesus says. He says, "You don't understand what I'm doing for you now, but later on you will, because I'm giving you a model to follow." The only way that a death ever brings life is if the death was done in love. And so he gets down on his hands and knees, and even to the one who's going to betray him, washes his feet. We can tip our waitresses. We can say a kind word about people who are angry to us. That's the whole Christian life right there, summed up in one. Will you lower yourself? And Jesus shows us how. Tonight we celebrate Holy Thursday, the beginning of this most sacred time in the church for us. Let's not forget those three important truths, that Jesus is with us even today in the Eucharist, that he's calling men forward to carry that sacrament on, to be with our people, and finally, that all of us have no excuse to bend ourselves over in love.